Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. There's a God-shaped vacuum at the heart of every person that cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God Himself. Pascal, with that statement, was summarizing the message of Ecclesiastes. For you see, Ecclesiastes records Solomon's effort to try to find satisfaction, meaning, purpose, joy in the things of this life by testing out different ways of finding that satisfaction in the things of this world. His first try was to seek that satisfaction in the attainment of wisdom, in the accomplishment of great works. You may recall that his reputation for wisdom spread around the world. His architectural achievements were wonders of the world. And yet he said, "What good is it?" Other people in their evil abuse it, and a fool comes after you who destroys it. And what good is such wisdom and works, he points out, even for yourself? Because, chapter 1, in much wisdom, there is great grief. And in chapter 9, what happens to the wise man who in his wisdom saves his city from destruction? No one remembers him. The wise man dies just like the fool. Vanity of vanities. Puff of air. It's all nothing. Seeing the vanity of seeking his life satisfaction in wisdom and works of men, Solomon turned his attention to seeking it in Machiavellian might. Might makes right. In the athletic contest and achievements there, he took pleasure in controlling others and in building up the strength of the horse, the thrill of the race. And yet, as he participated in those Saturday afternoon races, observed the Sunday afternoon situations, he felt more frustration because he realized the race does not always go to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. But time and chance control everything. Vanity of vanities. Well, having found that he couldn't find lasting satisfaction in wisdom or works, might or athletic abilities, Solomon gave himself then to the Epicurean philosophy. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. He turned his heart to fill every desire that he could imagine, and he had the opportunity to do virtually anything he wanted. And yet he found that those very desires were insatiable tormentors. They burned him, both with their demands that were never satisfied and their consequences. And so the serving of our desires he pictures as a burning fire. It always needs more and more fuel in order to keep going. It's like a handful of sand slipping through our fingers. Vanity of vanities. What is Solomon's conclusion? Our text. Remember now then your Creator in the days of your youth. Why? Someone might object. How does that help? Christians still die. They don't have greater wisdom or works or athletic ability just because they're Christians. And so this chapter concludes. The dust returns to the earth as it was. And yet that verse also goes on. But the Spirit returns to God who gave it. And so in calling us to remember our Creator, Solomon is pointing us to a life beyond this world. A satisfaction that cannot be found in the things of this world. That through Jesus, you have a life that will not die. For Jesus came into this world. He bore the vanity of vanities of living in a sin-cursed world in order to deliver you from death. He bore the guilt of your sins and mine. He endured the death that we deserved in the sufferings of hell, cut off from His Father, that you and I might be raised with Him to be joined with our Father in everlasting life. Jesus says in Revelation 1, I am He who lives and was dead and am alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and death. There is no one else that can open for you those jaws of death. Jesus came into this world so that He could open the gates of hell so you could come out. He has arisen into heaven in order to open those gates of heaven so you can enter in. And He tells you and me what the way through those gates is. John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth of Jesus dying for the forgiveness of your sins is the way to life, and none other. As we are filled with the glory of this life, given to you and to me by our eternal Creator and Redeemer, it overflows and also bringing satisfaction and joy in the things of this life. For, yes, those athletic abilities, the wisdom you're developing in the classroom, the works that you're doing, are all gifts from your Creator that He wants you to use to His glory, using them to recognize in them the gifts of His love, using them also to help build His kingdom, and using them remembering that everything done in His name is well pleasing to Him and never forgotten. So remember now your Creator. He's the one that gives eternal value to your today as well as an everlasting tomorrow. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 463, stanzas 1 and 5.